Bibles this evening, we're turning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read two verses. We're going to be looking at this chapter this evening. We'll look at a few other scriptures, but mainly we're going to be parking here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 7 and 8, it says this, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable." Are you guys in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Okay, did somebody just preach on that? Oh, bodily exercise? All right, okay. I heard some rumbling down here when I said bodily exercise. It might have been some jiggling. All right, verse 7, all right, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness," notice what it says, "but godliness is profitable unto," say it together, "all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." You know, to say that our nation is caught up in fitness is kind of an understatement. Physical fitness is not just a million-dollar business. According to Forbes magazine, last year, fitness in America was a $30 billion industry. $30 billion. Around the world, they estimate that around the world it was between 90 and 100 billion. So in America, for being only a little portion of the world, it is a little obsessed, with exercise and fitness. At any given time, on any different radio, internet, whatever thing you're looking at, it could be now YouTube with their ads that they're throwing at you, but on television, there's always, it seems like, an infomercial. An infomercial telling to you the latest fitness product, the Abdominizer, right? Or the Gut Be Gone, right? Or whatever it is. And then it's telling you that along with this purchase, you get a training video, and then there's more. All right, and it keeps on going on and on, taking you from that couch potato person to this man or woman or it of steel. All right, we have to be culturally acceptable. All right, and so you got aerobics for couch potatoes. You got all kinds of different things, the Elvis Presley Guide to Nutrition, different things they try to tie in famous people because obviously that guy was a bastion of health. But they have all kinds of things, and all the promises are saying this: if you follow this training plan, you'll be physically fit in days. Days. That we should take care of this vessel. All right, I understand. And there's sometimes that there's things that come into our life that make us to where we cannot be exactly the vessel that we want to be. But yes, we should be a little bit physically fit. But this evening, I want to consider something else. I think it's better to be spiritually fit. And that's what the context is saying. It's saying, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Now, you know, the people that are always out of shape love that. I mean, they just harp on that. They have that on a plaque. "It profits little." And actually, I think they've done their studies in the Greek, and somehow they've extrapolated that word "little" to mean nothing. All right? "It profits nothing. So I can be fat, out of shape, unhealthy, eat all I want, all right, and basically never function physically. And the Bible approves it." But that's not really what it's saying. What it's saying is a comparison. You know, when you study the Bible, a lot of times in the book of Proverbs, you see a lot of comparisons. And so it's saying bodily exercise, it does profit little. But what is it saying? "But godliness is profitable unto all things." This evening, I want to consider if you're spiritually fit. And in this passage, I think Paul instructs Timothy with a couple of ideas, and he says, hey, here's a couple of ideas to stay or become spiritually fit. Maybe we could be onto something. I've never really seen an infomercial on, hey, are you spiritually fit? Buy this. We could start our own little infomercial. You know, we could have prayers of steel. All right. We could come up with our own little side thing here. But I want to consider this evening just three ideas to help us to be spiritually fit. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we consider this topic this evening, that as always, we would submit ourselves to the Scriptures. And Lord, as the Scriptures tell us what to do, that as we submit to it, we would do it and we would obey it. As always, Lord, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So three simple thoughts this evening. And starting back in verse 1, notice what it says in our text in 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Notice it picks up again. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, notice the word, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. And then he goes into our text that, hey, you know what? You've got to refuse some things, but I want you to exercise thyself in spiritual matters. So what does he tell us to watch out for, or how can we have this spiritual fitness? It says spiritual fitness requires the right spiritual nutrition. Notice it used the word nourished. So what was he telling them to watch out for? He says watch out because in the latter times there's going to be people that are going to have false doctrine. They're going to want you to give heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies. But he says later in verse 5, but we can be sanctified how? Sanctification comes through the word and prayer. And he says you need to be nourished up again in the word. You know what? Sometimes we're not spiritually fit because we don't worry about our nutrition. We don't worry about what we're taking in. And I can tell you this, you need to have a steady diet of good things in your life. And that means Bible reading. That means prayer. That means church attendance. And this is what I ask you. Maybe we have athletes here tonight. All right, I love playing sports. I grew up playing sports. I played sports in college. But this is what I know now. All right, if I'm gonna be spiritually fit, I gotta put some time in a spiritual regimen, and I have to watch what comes into my heart. So guess what? Some of you, all right, and you have to get used to my vernacular, all right, but some of you spiritually, physically, you're the winner. You're the big W. But spiritually, guess what? The big L's on your forehead. You know why you're a loser? And I know you're not supposed to say that. We're all winners. All right, come to me tomorrow night and we'll say that. We're all winners. No, we're going for a prize. But guess what? Spiritually, I'm going for a prize. That's what Paul says. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And spiritually, I need to be fit. So I've got to watch what comes into my life. That means my diet needs to be filled up with some good stuff. So some of you, tomorrow, maybe your coach should come up to you and maybe you got your earbuds in, pull them out. What are you listening to? You're listening to some trash? You're listening, oh, it's just cuss words. Oh, really? Well, there's probably nothing in the Bible about that. And then you wonder why all of a sudden those cuss words are slipping into your thought life, and then they're slipping into your speech. Why is that? Because you're eating it. And what comes in is going to go out. I need to have a good diet. The Bible says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that I'm sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You know, that's used a couple of other times in the Bible. In John chapter 17, Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer. And this is what it says in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he tells us what truth is. Thy word is truth. He also tells us that in Ephesians. And that word sanctify is the same word here in 1 Timothy. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water, guess what? By the word. This is what I can tell you. Jesus, when he was here on this earth and he got faced with temptation, he knew that it was gonna, he was an example for us. Right? As I have said, Jesus was God. He was omnipotent. He had all power. All right, I'm sure if it was there, if it was created, if man made it up, he knew it. So guess what Jesus knew? All the karate moves. How do you know it? He knew everything. He knew everything. So with one quick ninja move, boom. Hey, no, you shouldn't have messed with me. Because I know it all. I'm all power. Now, what did he do for us? He showed us. And he said to the devil, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he helps us to know that if I'm going to be spiritually fit, I need to have some good nutrition. All right, some of the athletes coming in, and I know we're at the high school level. All right, but I have folks in here that have gotten into marathons and some even maybe above that, but half marathons and 5Ks and all that. And you know what's pretty important? I don't get into those things. All right, my son's trying to get me to do a 5K. I ran so much in high school and college, I think I ran lifetimes. Lifetimes. And so I like biking, so I'll go out and I'll bike a lot. I'll bike dozens of miles. I enjoy that. All right, but you know what? I tried to go out and I thought, oh, you know, I'll run a little bit. Oh, my word. I haven't run, really. I started this past fall. I thought, you know what? He was bugging me. I'll go out and run a little bit. I thought I was going to die. I hadn't run, literally, I hadn't run for probably about 20 years. Now I work out all the time. I do biking, I hike, I do all kinds of different things, but I hadn't really run. Oh, I thought cardiac arrest. But you know what else I noticed? You gotta watch what you eat. All right, there's nothing, all right, maybe some of you, try it tonight. All right, I'd love if some, maybe a couple of, and coaches, if you could just let us know, because we'd like to videotape this. If right before the basketball match, if you could stuff like 5 to 10 Twinkies down their throat and then stick them out there and just have them run nonstop. You all know. Yeah. All right. One, we'll have to have mops ready. We'll have to have all kinds. Why? Because it does matter what goes into your body physically. And it does matter what goes into your heart spiritually. Spiritual fitness, first of all, requires the right spiritual nutrition. Secondly, notice in our text, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, I think I'm in 1 Timothy 4. Yes, in verse 7 and 8. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profit a little. So it's saying that word exercise. That word exercise is used a couple other times. It's used in Hebrews chapter 5. Same word. Hebrews 5 and verse 14, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice the context there. It's saying that exercise kind of has to do with repetition a little bit. In Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 11, another time, I think this is the last time in the Bible that this word exercise is used, says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Same word found here in 1 Timothy, that we're supposed to exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. This word is giving us an idea that we're working a little bit at this. Look at verse 10. Go down a little bit in the context. It says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That is in the context that we're exercising unto godliness. So the context is saying, I'm laboring. You know what that word labor means? That word labor means to go to the point of fatigue. It means to push yourself so much that you drop on the mat. There's nothing else you can put into it. All right, we see it again. Notice verse 15. Meditate upon these things, Timothy. Give thyself what? Wholly to them. First, if I'm going to be spiritually fit, it requires the right spiritual nutrition. The second thing, it requires regular, strenuous exercise. It's not a one-time event here. He says, Timothy, if you want to be spiritually fit, you're giving yourself wholly to Him. There's going to be times that spiritually you're pushing yourself. And just like on the basketball court, just like on the volleyball court, just like for our guys, we wrestle some. You're there on the mat. There's nothing else you got. And physically, you push yourself. I ask you spiritually, athletes, have you ever come to that spiritually? And spiritually, if you haven't, you wonder why you're a loser. And again, you don't like the vernacular, and that is because over and over and over, physically, we push ourselves. Spiritually, we're wusses. And why is it? Because we're not spiritually fit. Because spiritual fitness takes a rigorous amount of exercise. It's not just getting up in the morning, like, oh yeah. A Proverbs a day keeps mommy away. Oh, yeah. Every wise woman built her life. Oh, my Lord, help them. Give me a good day. All right. And then you go to school and you get your head handed to you by the devil. You know why? Because physically, would you win putting that amount of time into it? No. You wouldn't win. It takes regular, strenuous exercise. You know, Paul, many times in his writings, in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is 9, he references the Isthmian Games. All right, I was able to, many years ago, I can't remember if it was 10 years ago, church sent me on a trip, and I was able to go over into the Mediterranean, and I went to the original Olympic site. In fact, one of the guys that grew up here, we went out onto the field and we wrestled each other. All right, we were there in Olympia. And if you've read a little bit about the Isthmian Games, they had 4 different types, and some of them featured different events. But the Isthmian Games, if you were going to enroll or engage yourself in the Isthmian Games, it was a great honor. Within your city, they had to kind of nominate you for that position. And then, if you were going to do it, you had to commit for 10 months of a regimented physical exercise program. So this is what he is kind of, I believe he's referencing it again, using this idea, saying that, hey, if physically, in the Isthmian games, in the Corinthian games, right, in these games, if they were saying, I'm going to be regimented, and if they committed 10 months and set everything else aside so that they could win the crown, then guess what? Spiritually, get some guts. Get a regiment. Sit down with somebody. Get a trainer. Get a health coach. All right? And then they can be up on YouTube, like, go, go, go. I don't even get that one. Like, shut up. All right? But what is it telling us to do? Get some. I think most of us know this. It's not easy physically, so it's not going to be easy spiritually. Why? Because Paul said that in Ephesians. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness on high. It's a war. It's a fight. And I tell our folks all the time that every morning you suit up and get ready for battle and fight the good fight of faith. Because it takes a fight. It takes being ready. Takes a little intensity. And I think that within our churches, what we're finding is that we don't have people that are spiritually fit. And why is it? Because it takes some regular, strenuous exercise. Remember, we're in 1 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what it says. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What does it sound like? Does it sound like it's a life of ease? No. It sounds like if I'm going to be spiritually fit, that I'm going to have to endure a strenuous habit of pushing myself spiritually. And I would venture to say this. I would venture to say that tomorrow night, especially at the high school level, all right, I know, and everybody here, you guys all know this, there's the one dude or one dudette is like, well, I was gifted. All right, and then you meet the animal, all right? And then all of a sudden, you're like, oop. All right, for instance, I don't know if you saw the news article. This was a real brilliant move. I think it was in Spain. In Spain, either this week or last week, some brilliant head of the physical department decided that since you really can't tell who is anymore, so they combined all the basketball teams. And so the guys, there's only one conference now, guys and girls. So guess what's happening? Nothing against the woman folk here. I married a woman. I'm really glad she's a lady. All right. I'm telling you. All right. It'd just be real creepy. All right. If it's the other way around. So I think we all understand there's men and women. All right. We don't have to get into the discussion about Genesis here. All right, so here, they say everybody's the same. All right, so guess what happened? All right, the loser boy basketball teams are destroying the championship girl teams. The one was 50-4. 50-4, and then the women coaches are like, it's just not fair. It's not right. I'm like, well, you guys started it all. All right, so I understand, getting back to our point, I understand that, you know, there's some here that, you know, you're the gift. You've been blessed. All right, until we see you play soon. All right, but guess what more than likely is going to happen tomorrow night? The team that more than likely is going to win is the team that had a regular, hard, strenuous plan of exercise. That's normally what does it. I was talking with Dr. Vogelin. All right, and we have a pretty good music program. But you know why we're pretty good at music? Because some of our kids at 5 years old start in piano. And about 7 or 8, they start into instruments. 9 and 10. And over and over and over. Hours and hours and hours. And in fact, we had a really good musician come in. And I talked to him for a while. And he's phenomenal. But starting at about 4 or 5 years old, his parents said, hey, this is what I want you to do. And they pushed him. And other kids were outside. And other kids were doing other things. And he was sitting there just playing his instrument and playing his instrument and working and working. And now it's about 30 years later. And he said, people walk up and say, oh, you just got a gift. And he said, I want to choke him. But you know what? It was just, some of it is. God has, I understand, God gives people some gifts and some abilities, but some of it's just flat out hard work. You know what I found with some guys, some preachers, they know the Bible. I know a good man, he's an older man, and then I just love sitting and talking with him. I love sitting and, man, it just seemed like the Bible just oozed out. I would squeeze him and a verse would pop out. All right, he'd start sweating. I'm like, hey, is that scripture rolling down your... I mean, he beaded great drops of the Word of God. It was crazy. But you know, I sat down and I started talking to him and I've read some of his books and I found out that he has a regiment of about 40 years of reading dozens almost of chapters a day. You know why it's oozing out? Because he decided he'd study it and he'd work at it. And what I think that those of us that are a little older, you know what I find? I don't always jump out of bed like, ah, devotion time. Sometime I got to pry my eyes open. And I'm like, what did that say? Therefore. But you know what I find? This is important to me. So I'm going to get in it. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it just like in basketball. Or just like in volleyball. Or just like in physical fitness. There are times you walk into a gym. And you're like, no, I don't think the gym wants me here. It just doesn't feel right. Yeah, oh no, that's just not. But you have to do it anyways. Because physically that's important. It's something that I want to do. And I set a goal and I'm going to try to do it. So spiritually, make a regular habit. A regular regiment. You'll never regret it. In high school, I'm glad that I had a teacher. I had a spot there that, man, I know church members... Some of you, and I breed this because I'm sarcastic, and so afterwards I know I'm going to have some church members say that I still haven't gotten over this, but there was a point in high school I was a jerk. All right, so that, I just opened myself up for that, okay? And some are like, you never lost that, all right? But I can remember a teacher, I had a study hall, and I can remember a teacher taking interest and saying, hey, do you know how to study God's Word? And that was in 10th grade. That 10th grade year changed my life. And since then, I love this book. I love everything about this book. I look forward to getting into the book. You know why? Because many years ago, somebody helped me start a regiment, a regular time of exercise. One last point. And we'll be done. We said that there's three ideas in our text here in 1 Timothy. It's saying here that refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So we saw that if I want to be spiritually fit, I need to have the right spiritual nutrition. If I'm going to be spiritually fit, I need to have a regular regular regimen and some strenuous exercise. But then notice, look at what it says in verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise. Notice the word. What is it? Exercise what? Thyself. All right? Go down to verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Look at verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading. That idea, if you know your grammar, till I come, you give attendance to reading. Notice verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give, what's the word again? Thyself wholly to them. Look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself. If you're going to be spiritually fit, you've got to have the right nutrition. You need to set up a regular plan. But guess what? Nobody else can get you fit. Nobody else. It is a personal commitment on you. It ain't mommy, it ain't daddy, it ain't some older brother, it ain't some youth pastor or pastor. Yeah, we are going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage our church to get into the Word of God. But I can't read the Bible for you. I can't eat for you. You have to do it. It's personal. Let God become personal to you. And be committed to Him. Be committed to God. There's something personal here. I think that in the area of Christianity, Christianity has always been that, we've been kind of conservative in our beliefs, except for recently. Okay, and the big box churches, who knows what they are. But we've been pretty conservative. And there's a word that's out there that kind of is big today and it's promoted, and that is socialism. You know what socialism is? That what you have is mine. That's basically what it boils down to. Oh, it's not necessarily what I have is yours. No, it's almost always what you have is mine. Socialism. You know what I think that we've done in Christianity? We have a bunch of socialists. You'd say, well, what do you mean by that? You're living off of everyone else's manna. Everyone else's Bible reading. Everybody else's spirituality. Get your own. Get in the Word of God. Get a regiment. Start studying the Word of God. And if you can physically, that's why I like athletics. You know why I like athletics? Because it's in some ways helps me to see in a little picture what I've got to do spiritually. And this is what I'm telling you as young people, as older folks. We know this. I know this. Spiritually, it's a lot harder. Tons harder. It's tons harder. And physically, if you're going to win something, you've got to push yourself. And spiritually, we have a bunch of unfit people. And why is that? Because we're like this all the time. And I ask you, oh, my church knows it. Yeah, the technology fast. Set it down. My church knows, and I appreciate them. They never can get a hold of me. Never. You know why? I never have my phone with me. Ever. I don't think. I don't have it here. It's sitting at my house right now. You know why? Because I'm here. Church members want to see me? I'm here! Well, like, oh, I texted you. Yeah, I was at church. Duh. Like, yeah, well, I emailed you. Yeah, I was at church. And some of you, you're more worried about all of this, and you're not worried about what God has for you. Set it down. Set it down. I mean, and like I said, I don't mind some of the technology, but really the technology, it can make us limp a little bit sometimes. It can make us not fit like we should be, because then I'm basically addicted to that. And I'm not supposed to be brought under the power of any. Some stupid phone ain't going to control me. I'll throw it in the garbage first. All right, some song Some rap song? That's going to control me? How silly of us. We need to be spiritually fit. That's why, again, I say, I like athletics. I like that it teaches us some discipline. But for some of us, that's where it stopped physically. In the Christian realm, the reason we have athletics is to draw you a picture. And the picture is this: get spiritually fit. I read this story. I thought it was interesting. There was a man that was a diver. And he would dive for exotic fish. And then he would, places would, big aquariums would pay him. And then kind of special collectors would ask him to go and get something for him. And he was talking to somebody one time, and he told them a unique trait of sharks. He explains that if you catch a small shark and you confine it into a small aquarium, it won't grow. I was like, I had to kind of check it out. You see, now I have a whole bunch of shark YouTube. But it's true. Sharks can be 6 inches long. 6 inches. Think about that. And yet fully matured because they're put into a small aquarium. And this is what this diver said. But if you turn them loose in the ocean, they'll grow their normal length. And I thought of some Christians. And some of you are in this little tiny puddle, and you're like a 6-inch Christian, swimming around like, woo! You're supposed to be a shark, dude! All right, I know you can't see it. Have you looked in the mirror? You're supposed to be huge! You're supposed to be scary! All right, I'm sorry, if I saw a 6-inch, like, ah! All right, so do I squeeze you and you make noise? All right, you look good on my keychain. But it's sad, isn't it? Well, what's sad about it? It's supposed to be something that is tough. It's supposed to be something that is aggressive. And it's this little, weeny little shark. Why? Because it had its growth stunted. And I think many of us put ourselves in a place that we aren't growing spiritually like you should. So I ask you, are you spiritually fit? Are you eating like you should? Do you have a regular exercise program like you should? And are you committed to it? Nobody else. I think most of us know that. I'm older now, and I know that more and more and more. I've got to be committed to my workout program, or I ain't doing it. I've got to be committed. I've got to challenge myself in that area and just say, you've got to do this. And so spiritually, that's my challenge. Head bowed, eyes closed this evening.